Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. A lot of times we dwell on the negative, and I was talking to him, said that he had the thought that we're hardwired as a species or as a race or whatever of people that we can only handle as much bad news as what we can directly affect. Since the beginning of time, you know, you could only handle as much bad news as you only heard what happened to your family, your tribe, maybe your village, maybe your city, but now we're bombarded with bad news from around the world, and our natural tendency is just to think we need to fix it, and then when we can't fix it, we tend to shut down and not do the things that we can fix, and we just like, if I can't fix it all, I'm not going to fix any of it. I'm just going to sit home and play video games. And I think sometimes that, I think the obverse of that is true, that if we, God has done so much for us, we can't really get our minds around how much he has done for us. And it's like, we just almost, if I can't thank him for everything, you know, I feel ungrateful. And I always think about the leper that returned and gave thanks, and I don't want to be, you know, one of those other nine lepers. And you know, I think how much God has done for me, and you know, physically and you know, spiritually and with my family. And you know, I think, you know, it's easy to think of, you know, think back 10 years to Joanne's cancer, and God brought us through that, and now it's like something that happened to someone else. And I think of all the things we went through with that, and then I think of all the things this church has been through over the years, and we're still here. We're still here, and you know, it's like, you know, I feel like Gideon's army, one of Gideon's army. I don't feel like Gideon himself, but I think, you know, when we watch the numbers dwell, God's going to see when the numbers dwindle, not dwell, dwindle, but we're going to see what God can do, and I believe that. And sometimes it's hard to see that, and then I think that, you know, just a few short months ago that I was laying in the middle of the woods, you know, and, you know, there's no feeling like feeling, you know, watching your son's taillight go off through the woods, you know, going for help, and you never know if you'll ever see him again, or if you'll ever see anything again, because then it was that serious. And I look back on it, and all that I came through, and that Joanne had to put up with through that time, and you know, and now it's like it happened to someone else, and it's so easy to forget those things. And you know, I always think of that song, "Remind Me, Dear Lord." You know, roll back the curtain of memory now and then, and you know, shows me where you brought me from and where I could have been. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for everything God has brought us through. I'm thankful for the people that God has brought into our lives. You know, I'm thankful for the Painter family. I know I don't like to call names, but You know, I remember when I was growing up, when I had got back in church, and Nathan would come down here from Springdale, and I thought he was the most self-righteous person you've ever met in your life. Like, who does he think he is? And then when he moved down here, I was like, oh, no. But I couldn't have been more wrong. And I mean, it just shows how, you know, God can change our minds. And now somebody that's as, and I've watched, you know, my, you know, I swore I'd never say these words, but my cousin Phil, you know, come up, you know, from the different stages of his life that God has brought him through. And I'm thankful for that. I have no problem with the place that Brother Smith, the faith that Brother Smith has placed in these men. And I'm thankful for them, and I'm thankful for their families. And I know, you know, from growing up in the positions that I've been in, that it's not an easy place. You know, one time my dad asked me, you know, years ago, he asked me if I could be, he said, could you handle it if I was no longer a pastor? I said, handle it? I would love it. You know, no spotlight on me, you know, but you know, looking back, you know, and everything that God has brought us through, and I'm thankful. I mean, I'm truly thankful. It has been a beautiful day. It's been a beautiful week. You know, God is blessing us, and I think that God is blessing us, even our extended family. You know, I think that God is blessing Brother Smith with great-grandchildren. You know, I know that's why I'm sure that's why he's not here tonight, and as I wouldn't be, but I'm thankful for that. Even though, you know, that family's not here, that's more blessings. You know, that I see a healthy baby. I see it on Facebook. I mean, obviously, I wasn't there, but I'm thankful for that. I mean, it could go so easily go the other way. I've got a customer right now that has a grandbaby that's been in children's hospitals for at least 2.5 years now. I mean, born premature, a shunt in her head, cancer of the liver. I mean, it just keeps rolling. And now this, and you know, this poor baby is one of the cutest babies you've ever seen, but she's never going to progress past that. And we think, you know, but that family doesn't love that baby any less, with all the, you know, the hardships and things like that. And it makes me thankful. I used to always think that, you know, the worst fear of a parent when you find out you're going to have a baby is that you're going to have an afflicted baby. And, you know, I remember thinking that, and, you know, all the tests for Downs and this and that. But now that I've had my kids and they are afflicted, it's not so bad. No, I think about it, I wouldn't love them any less. I mean, it would probably be horrible at the time, but you adapt. You're just like Brother Mike said, you adapt, and it's like when I had my accident, I went through you know, some pretty embarrassing things, and I had a pretty hard time with it there for a while. And the surgeon told me, he goes, it's the new normal. That's how you have to look at it. It's the new normal. And I thought about, well, it's like kind of like wearing glasses. When you start wearing glasses, like, how do I keep these things on my nose? How do I keep them clean? And then after years of wearing it, it's the new normal. And I think about, you know, that I don't know where I was going with that, but I'm just so thankful that when I see the way that God has been, you know, God has blessed us, and I think of how he's kept his hand over us, and I don't think that this church has ever had, in all the years, a major catastrophe. I don't think. I mean, you know, thinking back of it, you know, like a family that died in a house fire, somebody that got, you know, I mean, we've had, God has brought us through. And I don't think that that God's going to change. I think he's going to continue. And I feel that with, you know, with Sister Inez. And I may be totally wrong, but I've got a peace about, I mean, it's not my place to have a peace about that. But at the same time, you know, I know that God's on the throne, as Brother Talley always says. You know, I think that many times. I'll be listening to the news, and you know, I'll get worked up from the, you know, riots in Baltimore or whatever the case might be. But it always comes back to me. I hear Brother Talley's voice. God is still on the throne, and I believe that. I do, And I appreciate everything. I appreciate all my brothers and sisters here, the ones that are here and the ones that aren't, because we're all part of a family. And you can feel it. I can feel it. I am thankful to be here.
Will we do? So I do love Saturday night service, but I wanted to just say that God is great and He is on His throne, and just give Him thanks and praise for my dad and what he's doing in my dad's life. I believe it was like 6 or 7 months ago that they told us they'd give my dad 2 months to live. And I just left him sitting in the recliner watching that show where they shop around for old stuff in a van. But he didn't have his oxygen on or anything yesterday. They hospice came and took him to Conway Hospital, and they removed 3 liters of fluid off of his lungs. So he's doing a lot better. And we had a brief talk, you know, before I left. And he was thanking God and, you know, that he's always been good to our family. And he told me, he said, He told me that I won. I said, "No, Dad, I didn't win." I said, "The Lord won." And he said, "Well, you won on earth and He won in heaven." And anyway, we were just talking, and he said, "You know, it's just my mind." He said, "You know, the thoughts and stuff that just pop in there." And I'm like, "Yeah, we all have that problem, Dad. We do." I said, "You gotta rebuke it. Just get it out of there. Say, 'Lord, forgive me for having that thought.'" I said, "We all have that, you know." And I told him, just keep being prayerful and trusting in God. And, you know, and I told him, I said, just keep a song in your heart and just keep praising, praising, praising. But I told him what Brother Smith said last Wednesday, that, you know, Brother Smith, I said, "Dad, we haven't give up on you," you know, because I went over there and I was like, "Well, we have church tonight. Do you want to come?" And he said, I sure wish I could. I wanna be there." And I said, "We know." He said, "Just tell everybody, don't give up on me. Don't give up on me." And I said, "No, Dad, we're not." I said, "Brother Smith just said Wednesday during Bible study that it would sure be good to see you come in through those doors to be here with us." And he said, "Yes." He said, "Tell Brother Smith I'm not going to let him down." That's what he said. But he still looks good. I mean, he doesn't look like he's going to go right away, you know. And my mom told me that there was a nurse that was helping him yesterday, and she said that she had a family member that was diagnosed with cancer, and she went through the chemo and the radiation and everything, and she lived 15 more years. And then there was another family member of this nurse, and she said she was diagnosed and she refused the chemo and the therapies and everything, and she lived 20 years. And I said, "Yeah, you can, I mean, I've heard it say that we very well could have cancer in us and don't know it, you know. And, I mean, you can go years and years with it. And I guess it's just, you know, like what Brother Brett said, the new normal. We just, I guess we have to just keep going back for more fluid to be taken out, you know. So he wasn't having to have the oxygen today at all. He just kind of looked normal sitting in the chair, really. But I thank y'all so much for your prayers. And so thankful to God, you know, because I told him, I said, well, the Lord is just giving you more time. Some people don't get more time. It's, you know, sudden. They're just gone suddenly, and they didn't get a warning or nothing. And so, but he's really doing good, and I just praise and thank God for his goodness and his mercy for our family. He is so good and so deserving of our praise.
Well, thank God for all his wonderful blessings. What's that song, God is Good? Give us so many blessings. Praise God. We ought to love him, praise him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. You know that old saying, give thanks for the things that you have, there may come a day when you don't have anything to be thankful for. We should be thankful. And our hope, our trust is in the Lord. We feel inadequate. There's no doubt. We feel, you know, insufficient, misunderstood, or sometimes just incapable of fulfilling the task at hand. And it's our privilege, though, to put our trust in the Lord and know that he'll supply every need according to his riches and glory. I was mowing Thursday night. My neighbor's put in a new pond, and his pond is higher than my place. Well, his pond isn't sealed yet, and so his pond's leaking. And it's running, and is running right down his driveway onto the road and not hitting the ditch. And it's the whole road's just been a wet mess. And they've had utility trucks out there, and it's a lane, really. It's paved, but it's barely wide enough for two vehicles. You throw a dually in there, and it's not. So you got somebody going off on the shoulder. So you got mud all over the place. You got water all over the place. And I usually mow across the street for me just to keep it clean. It's a couple passes back and forth. I got almost to the end, and it's kind of off, you know, it's going into a ditch, and it's muddy, and my mower is just sliding into this ditch. I'm not happy, I promise you. I'm pretty unhappy about it. And so, what are you going to do? You're going to jerk it out of there, right? I'm covered in mud because you know how it is with a mower. You get to rocking, the mud starts slinging, you get mud all over your back and get it on your, you know, it's just, you just turn into a muddy mess. And I think, well, there's no way I'm getting in my truck to go, you know, get a tow rope to tow this mower out of here. So, I've done it before, but brute strength. I'm just going to pull this thing right out of this ditch. And I got a hold of it and put my foot down, and about that time I hit a wet spot, and I just hit the dirt. So I'm really muddy. And I'm mad. I'm frustrated. You know, I think if I'd have been one of these little girls' ages, I might have just got down in the middle of the road and thrown a fit. What are you going to do? You're going to just do the best you can, right? When you just feel like that you're just out of options, you just do the best you can. You know, that scripture that says that he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. And I had to bring my spirit into subjection, mind my tongue and those thoughts that enter in, Sister Crafton, that we all struggle with. And slowly but surely I worked it. If Brother McGowan had been there, he'd have just got one hand. It'd have been over with. But I couldn't quite do that, but I did work it out of the ditch, and finally me and my muddy self got on the way, but I didn't get my job finished, but finished it today. But, you know, I find myself, like y'all, in circumstances that are just beyond my doing. I didn't make that mess. I did go up the road. I don't know why it didn't occur to me sooner. Maybe I had a lesson to go through, but I did go up the road and made me a little ditch where now his water leaking out of his pond is going down in the ditch and not out in the middle of the road. But I didn't make the mess to begin with, but I still had to deal with it. You know, that's just like life. There's so many things in our lives that come our way that we didn't have any say in the matter. Just like Brother Brett was talking about, you hear negative. I mean, how many people do you know that call you, and the only time they call you is when they've got something to complain about? There's people like that. They're not concerned about your welfare. They're not concerned about if you're having a good day. They're not concerned about, you know, things that's going on in your life. They just want to call you and tell you, well, did you hear about so-and-so? Or did you know that so-and-so is going through this? Or, you know, and it's just negative. People are, they're prone to it. They're given to it. Well, I'm convinced that people feel that way is because they don't have their their faith is misplaced. If we're not careful, saints of God, we'll put our faith and our confidence in the things that we can manage, in our own brute strength. We'll put our confidence our trust in our riches, whether it be, you know, financial or wisdom, you know, your knowledge or your strength, your power. And of course, you know, age cures some of those things. You know, I was a little slow getting up off the ground today. Old back catch, you know how it goes. Age fixes some of those things, but even when you feel that, it doesn't always stop you. It doesn't always stop you from trying to make it happen. I was thinking tonight about when the Apostle Paul was in jail, Paul and Silas, and they began to sing. They were thrown into an environment that was beyond their control. In fact, they couldn't get out of it. I mean, how many of us how many times in your life do you try to figure a way out? I don't care what it is, whether it's your bills, your family troubles, your health care, something on a job. You'll go through your mind and you'll start making a list. What if I did this? Well, if I did this, would that work? What if I did this? You know, but here those guys were. They were thrown into jail, and short of picking a lock, they weren't coming out of there. Right? And, short of robbing a bank, I don't know how I've got a bill to pay, and short of robbing a bank, I don't know how I'm going to pay it. And so these guys were in a circumstance where, what did they have to do? Praise the Lord. That's what they had. That's all they had to do. And the writer said that in the book of Psalms, let's see if I can remember. It's one of them good ones. Psalms 8 and 2. Good ones for me. I wrote it down. I made a note because I like to go back to this. Psalms 8 and 2, it said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And of course, Jesus referenced that same scripture in Matthew 21, 16. He said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. And then when Jesus quoted it, Matthew 21, 16, he said, have you not read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And so praise equals strength. And so, they said, well, what song are they singing? Well, it's probably Jailhouse Rock. You've heard that. It's an old joke. I don't know, but they didn't let their circumstances or their environment hinder them from putting their trust in the Lord. Neither should we. And, you know, it's difficult. Brother Smith mentioned this in Bible study Wednesday night. I mentioned it last Saturday night. It's a challenge for us to not feel bad about ourselves, to be down, you know, on ourselves, to get to thinking that, you know, we're nothing, will never amount to nothing, you know, it's always going to be a struggle. I was thinking about that today. You know, I was asking myself, Or am I just trying to get by? Am I just trying to get through the struggle? Am I content with this idea and the writer said, life is a few days of sorrow or trouble, a wise man. You know, that song, I think Sister Stewart might sing that song. A wise man once said, and we know that man's days are full of trouble. I think it's Job, the writer, said that. And of course, his days were, and he did lose his children, and he did lose his possessions and his animals. And God returned it back. Brother Smith, you know, mentioned that, I think, Wednesday night in Bible study. He said God did give that back to him. He said, but, you know, if you ask Job about it, he probably wouldn't want to go through that test. But he would probably tell you that he's still better off for going through it, that he was still, for the experience and the knowledge of it, he was still better off. And so I asked myself today as I was working around home thinking about tonight and our service, that am I just trying to get through this struggle? Am I just focusing on the negative? Am I just hoping that I make it? Well, the truth is, at times I am. And it's not, I don't think it's intentional, but I think at times it's because I've been looking at the wrong thing. I met two people tonight that I hadn't seen in a long time. One guy I hadn't seen in 20 years, and I went to school with him. His life's a wreck. His life compared to, just an ordinary Christian, most people wouldn't even look at him twice. They'd get away from me. Because his life's a wreck. I want to tell you something. That guy's life has been a wreck from the time he was a teenager. His struggle has never changed. And I'm going to tell you something. By the help and grace of God, it's the only way his struggle will ever change. But it's going to take power, a lot of power. You know, he was happy to see me, shook my hand 3 times in a 10-minute conversation. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll just be a little truthful with you. I wasn't necessarily happy to see him. You know why? Because I knew his life's a wreck, and I knew his life was a wreck 20 years ago. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm casting judgment upon him. What I'm saying is if I'm not careful, I focus on the struggle. If I'm not careful, I'll focus on the struggle that he's got and not what he could be. I do that to myself. We had the privilege of attending Alex's graduation last night. Really happy for her to have accomplished that. Very happy for her. And I was looking at all these graduates coming through the line. And what a diverse crowd. In varying degrees, you know, most of them, I guess they were all associate degrees in different things. And, you know, we were leaving, and I heard one of the graduates say, well, I'm worth something. I've got a college education. And I thought to myself, well, your struggle is just beginning. Yes, that's part of it. But it's the beginning. It's certainly not the end. But again, I'm thinking to myself today, I work for a man. I work with some guys that are brilliant. I mean, they just blow me away sometimes with the ideas that they have and the designs and things like that. And most of our good products originate out of somebody's struggle. Most of the good ideas that we come up with as a team originate because somebody had a problem and they couldn't find the tool to fix that problem. And sometimes, and my boss tells me this all the time, Nathan, it's all in how you frame it up. You know, that old, you've heard this before. When a man, one man went and told his wife, he said, honey, your face could stop a clock. And then another guy said, honey, when I look at you, time stands still. It's all in how you frame it up. If we take our struggles and we make them to where they're just the end, it's just the gloom, it's just the absolute, oh, I'm stuck in this ditch, my neighbor's pond is leaking all over the road. If I look at it like that, where it's just the consummate of my frustration for the day, then guess what? I'm just gonna quit and I'll just be frustrated. They can mow their own ditch. But I didn't. I don't know why I didn't think about it sooner, but I went and, like I said, I dug me another ditch. Drained the water off his pond right back into the ditch, and the road was dry and everything's drying up, and I'm just happy. I'm not going to get my mower stuck in that. I'm sure not going to be. I was like a pig. You know, I was covered in mud, Brother Daniels. It was a dirty sight to see. And anyway, so I'm thinking here today, am I stuck in the struggle? Am I stuck focusing on the struggle? And then beyond that, Brother Smith talked about how Wednesday night in Bible study, he was talking about how that we get to trusting in our own strength. And I thought about Moses. Moses did that. Moses, when he stood up on that rock, and I mentioned this the other night, but when he stood up on that rock and he said, shall we bring forth water? He didn't honor God. He didn't give God the credit and the honor that God deserved for delivering them from that dry situation. And he took the credit and the honor upon himself. And that was the very thing that God held against Moses that kept Moses from going over into the promised land, was the fact that Moses didn't honor God. He didn't show God the proper honor and respect that he was deserved, that he deserved. And so it's easy for us, we see that, we see examples of that. It's easy for us to take the credit, take the honor, take the glory of passing that test, of succeeding. It's easy for us to just say, well, look what I've done. And if we're not careful, we'll be lifted up in a moment of pride. That's why you have to be careful about putting a young man in office. You put a young man in office and he'll, in his moment of pride, he'll take that credit, he'll take that honor and not honor God. And if he's not careful, he'll not love properly. He'll be using his own strength or his own, he'll think, well, I got to make this happen and not learn how to trust and wait on the Lord. Patience. The Bible says to let patience have her perfect work. There's something to be said. Brother Durham mentioned this once, about having silence in a church, that there's something to be said about waiting and waiting upon the Lord and seeing what the Lord would do. There's no good thing. Somebody said, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. There's truth in that. And so Moses, when he did that, God held it against him. And he was so focused, so centered on that struggle that he was dealing with, of those people begging him, "Moses, I'm thirsty. Moses, my children are thirsty. The cattle are thirsty. We're just going to die here in the wilderness." And he felt that pressure come down upon him. And in his moment of pride, he said, "Must we bring forth water out of this rock and smote the rock?" And God help us, that if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves conniving or conspiring or getting involved in politics or just trying to find a solution to the problem, when the solution to the problem is still the same as it's always been, and that is to honor God in every circumstance, to honor Him in the good, to honor Him in the bad, to honor Him when things are going well, to honor Him when things are not so well, to honor Him when we have good health, to honor Him when we don't have good health, to honor Him when we're rich, to honor Him when we're poor. Thank God. Thank God for, like, our marriage vows, when it said that through sickness and in health, in rich and in poor, I'll be with this person. I'll stay faithful to this person. God expects those same kind of faithful commitments that we make with our spouse. He expects that same and even greater to Him. And you know, the thing is He's already made them to us. He told His disciples, He said, "I'll go with you." He said, He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And He said He'd go with us even unto the end. What more could you ask for? What greater commitment could you ask for than a Savior that's going to stick with you to the end? You know, the difference between us here tonight and others is the fact that we see that we have a need. We recognize that we are in a struggle. We recognize that it's not going to be our strength that's going to help us overcome our struggles. And we have a need. And that's why Jesus told His disciples, He said, "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings Thou hast ordained praise," or ordained strength. That's why we come out to the house of God, even on a night like tonight, where many of us are tired. I see several of us have red faces, probably been outside working, sunburnt, maybe. Probably some of you ladies have been cleaning your homes or taking care of the things that need to be taken care of. You know, Saturday's a work day. There's, you know, not often, you know, you get rest on a Saturday. And so I know that we've come in here tonight. I know that we're our load is heavy. I know that our bodies are weary and tired. And even then, you know, it's a little more compound. We've got folks that are off for funerals. We've got folks that were working. We've got folks that were sick. We've got folks that are at a meeting or with their grandchildren. We've got different ones that aren't here that we're expecting them to be here. And if we're not careful, we'll get so centered on the struggle that we'll forget why we even came to church tonight. We didn't come to church tonight to wallow in our struggle. We didn't come to church tonight to just feel this burden, you know, "Oh, woe is me," you know, and then stand beside somebody else to hear them say, "Oh, woe is me." No, we're not here for that. We're not here to just wallow in our sorrow. Oh, hallelujah. He said, "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, Thou hast ordained strength." Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus, His disciples came back the 70 came back rejoicing. And it's in Luke 10:17. It said, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name." Woo! Thank God I'm in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm in the name of the Lord. The same name of His Father. Hallelujah. He said by one name is all things. He said by one name is heaven and earth. Praise God. The name of Jesus. By one name were all things created. In heaven and earth. That name of whom the Father and the Son is named. Jesus Christ. He said, the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, behold, Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any mean hurt you. Are you getting that? Do you believe that tonight? The Bible says that the promises of God are yea and amen. He'll keep His word. And He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents, and nothing shall hurt you. That's what He told the 70. He said, nothing's going to hurt you. Oh, well, what about this crick in my back? What about this bill I can't pay? What about my health condition or my family troubles? What about that person that keeps calling me and the only time they ever call me is they want to complain about something? Thank God for voicemail. I'll tell you what. You know, I'm convinced that God's got voicemail. I am. I really do believe He's got voicemail. You're calling me again? You know, don't you know God just likes to get a phone call that says, hey, God, this Nathan, and I just want you to know that I love you. I just want you to know that I'm thankful for everything that you've done for me today. I'm just so happy that you love me and are taking care of me. It sounds a lot better, don't it? It does. I mean, you got to admit, it sounds better than, oh, God, these people that I work with. Lord, if you could just deliver me from these, you know, now, I've got a word that I use a lot, and I have to be careful who I use it in front of and who I'm referencing. And it's probably a word that I'm going to have to overcome at some point in my life. But whenever I'm 85, Natanya, I just want you to know, you're going to hear the word moron come out of my vocabulary because it's ingrained deeply within me, and there's going to be moments of weakness in my life where I'm going to say, look at that moron. Well, you know, if I'm not careful, I'll put that on God's voicemail. God, this moron. On my voicemail, delete is 7. Look, I'm telling you, there's sometimes people have called me, I don't even listen to the whole message. If it starts out with a complaint, delete. I'm not listening to it. Because I already know there's nothing good going to come out of it. And I already know that no matter my solution for their problem, they're not calling me for a solution. They're just calling me to use my ear as a garbage can. You know, they just want to throw their trash on me. Delete. 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 I do that. I delete voicemails. I don't listen to all of them. Because I know some of it's just nothing good come out of it. And so anyway, Jesus told His disciples, He said, I give you power over scorpions, over serpents. Nothing shall hurt you. He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So, here we are. You may be fighting Goliath. Monday may be your Goliath day. All right? Tuesday may be your thrown in the fiery furnace day. Wednesday may be your lion's den. Thursday may be you're on the banks of the River Jordan or on the banks of the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies right behind you. And you're running for your life. Right? I mean, God delivered His people from every one of those circumstances. Didn't He? He delivered His people from every one of those circumstances. He even delivered His Son, who was crucified on a cross and left in a grave. The Bible says that He delivered Him from it. Pulled Him right out of it, from death. Jesus told, He said, Lazarus is dead. He said, well, if he's dead, he stinks by now. He said, no, Lazarus isn't dead. He's just sleeping. You know, it's amazing when you have an understanding. It's amazing. Now, you can know Lazarus is dead. That's what the disciples, those ladies said to Jesus, said, Lazarus is dead. He said, Lazarus, he's dead. He said, he stinketh by now, 3 days in the grave. He said, Lazarus isn't dead. He's sleeping. Well, when you have that knowledge that you can be alive in the mind of God, that all it takes is God speaking a word, and death or life, this side of death or that side of death, don't matter to God. It don't matter to Him. He's the God of heaven. He created life. He took man from the dust of the earth and made a little pile and breathed into him the breath of life. My Lord, don't you know He can do the same for anybody? Woo! This side of the grave or that side of the grave, it's no big deal for God. Woo! Hallelujah! He owns it all. Pays our bills, doesn't pay our bills. It's no big deal for Him. Jesus told His disciples, He said, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you. Now look, climb that mountain. Get that victory. But rejoice in the fact that you're a child of the Most High God. I mean, rejoice in the victory. Rejoice in the victory. Praise God. But when you do rejoice, make sure that you say that God did this for me. Look what God did for me. Look what God did. Look what God did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we have examples. We have good examples in the Word of God. We have examples of when men could have taken credit or could have taken advantage. Sometimes they did, and the people suffered. But sometimes they didn't. Let's look over in 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. And the 16th verse. Well, let's look here at the 15th verse. 1 Chronicles 11:15. He said, now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistine garrison was then at Bethlehem. So, they were outnumbered. They were in a bad way. The Philistines were everywhere, as far as you could see. And they were encamped in Bethlehem. Now, David had power. He was king by now. And if he said jump, men said how high? Or they just jumped. So he had the power. Men did what he told them to do. But you know, he had to be careful what he asked for. It says here that David was sitting there. He said he longed. He said, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate. And you know, if we're not careful, now, God give us wisdom. Just like Brother Brett Weiniger mentioned Jonah. You know what Jonah was doing before God called him? He was thrashing wheat by the wine press. Gideon, thank you. You mentioned Gideon. Gideon was thrashing wheat by the wine press. For other people, I'm assuming. He was making flour. He was getting the wheat ready to feed others. Even in the midst of all those, you know, all those enemies that he had around him. They were living like goats on a hillside. He was doing something to help others, and I'm convinced that's why he was considered to be a valiant man, a man of valor, because he was putting his life at risk for the good of others. So I'm not saying that we can be like Gideon and be inspired, and we should be. And you never know what God will do for you when you get inspired by God. But here, David, he said he longed for a drink at the well, and so these men heard him. It said, and three broke through the host of the Philistines, verse 18, and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. He made a sacrifice. He poured it out to the Lord. And the reason is, he said, my God forbid it me that I should do of this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy, for which the jeopardy of their lives they brought it? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest. These three men, these three mighty men, it goes on to talk about them. They had such a dedication and such an honor for King David, that what he said, when he said, I wish I had water from the well, they put their lives in jeopardy, broke through the Philistine lines, and they went and got it. But did you know David knew, he recognized that even though he had the power to ask them in to do that, it wasn't his place. It wasn't the right thing to do. And so he just made a sacrifice to the Lord. Brother Smith mentioned that here Wednesday night in Bible study. You can have the power. You can demand. And you can take the glory and the credit. But that doesn't necessarily make it right. And he mentioned that when the children of Israel said, put a king over us. And I don't know if y'all remember him going through that verse. He said, well, if you do, then he'll take your sons and he'll make them soldiers. He'll take your children and he'll take your daughters and make them into confectionaries. And he'll take your land and he'll take your cattle. If you're so desirous of a king, that king is going to rule over you. And if we're not careful ourselves and our determination to impress our friends, to impress our family members, to impress our neighbors, our co-workers, if we're not careful, we'll place ourselves under bondage of a king or some sort of idea that then doesn't have the love of God, doesn't have the wisdom of God, doesn't have the mercy of God. You know, without raising your hand or acknowledging, but how many of us have found ourselves in debt, whether it's a car payment or a house payment or something else that you wanted to buy, and you just knew you had to have it. You just knew you got the power to go out and get it. And then a few months later or a few years later, you find yourself thinking, oh, If I could just get out from under this burden that I've got. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a situation where we're trying to be something that we're not, or we're trying to take the credit for something that really the credit belongs to God. This church ebbs and flows. We've been here for 14 years, and I was back here looking at the tapes tonight. Tapes go back to 78, and there's been people worshiping here a lot longer than that. I know that. And I respect that. But here's what else I know. That we're not going backwards. There's no point in us reflecting as though we're going backwards to the glory days. We're going forward. We are going forward. It's our choice. It's our decision. It's our effort. It's us moving forward is what propels us forward. If we're not careful, we'll let those chains and shackles of yesterday hold us back, Brother Daniels. But we can't do that. And our society, even in our society's changing. And I'm not going to say anything that's contrary to this, to what's been taught here. But I will say this. We are dealing with people that are beyond our comprehension. Tonight in a store, I saw a man today. He had hoops in his ears that were as big around as half dollars. I mean, it was just holes. Unbelievable. If he ever changed his life, he's still going to have that. He would have to have cosmetic surgery of some sort to repair that. He's changed. His life, his appearance has changed. Tattoos. So many people I know have tattoos. So many people I know, they have no concept of morality. They have no respect for the definition of a married couple being a man and a woman. There's so many variations and variants of lifestyles in our society today that to imagine ourselves going back is a futile effort. It's just not going to happen. People today are different than they were 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and our expectation for them has got to change. The only thing that I can see that's going to satisfy us having the power to help these people is the love of God. It's 100% God's love. And see, the thing about it is we can't take credit for it. We cannot, if we help somebody, if we love the absolute unlovable, we can't take credit for it. Just like Jesus told his disciples, he said, rejoice not that all these things are subject unto you. He said, that's not the glory. That's not the greatness of the situation. The greatness of the situation is that your name is written in heaven. That you are in the name of Christ. That the Lord loves you and he brought you this way. And he's using you to help others. Don't focus on the struggle. Don't focus on the struggle of others. Focus on what God can do through you. Paul said, I'm an epistle, read and known of all men. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us strength. Give us love. My Lord. Throw the doors open. Throw your windows open. Open up your heart. Make room. Make room for the unlovable in your life. Now, I'm not talking about the people that aren't interested in friendship and sincerity and integrity. I'm not talking about the people that are calling you all day long and just giving you the negative. I'm not talking about the people that just bring trash and just dump it on you all the time. I'm not talking about that. Look, CNN is not going to get salvation. Fox News is not going to get saved. Just forget about it. They're not going to be changed. The Republican Party is not going to be saved. The Democrat Party is not going to be saved. There's no salvation because their hope and trust isn't in God. That's why we are children of a different kind. We're strangers in this land. I mean, I have thankfulness in my heart for the political system, the government that we're under, and the liberties that God has provided us. I'm incredibly thankful for it. It troubles me whenever I see people rioting and destroying things, out of anger and frustration, putting people's lives at risk. That's sad. What a sad situation. I've got family lives in Seattle. I've got a niece and a nephew that live in Seattle and woke up this morning reading the news about how that they've got rioting going on in Seattle. Totally unrelated to what's going on in Baltimore. I'm thinking, what is this? What is this society we live in where people just want to create mayhem and violence? The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. My God, put a hedge around all of us and protect us as He has. Continue, Lord, to watch over us. And make us safe, our pathways safe. We live in a dangerous world where people have no respect for each other. They don't even respect themselves. You think they're going to respect you? They carry on and behave themselves in ways that are totally inappropriate. Use all kinds of language, violent tactics. They decorate their body with all kinds of things and have no, I was in a place today, getting my hair cut. Man walked in and had a big old rip up his pants. It was just a shame what he was displaying. He was no more self-conscious of that than a man on the moon. There's all kinds of nudity and perverse behavior going on in our society. We don't live we live in the Bible Belt, but even that has been eroded. We don't live in a society where people are going to behave themselves in an appropriate way, and if they do, we're blessed. We're just fortunate. How many times have you been out to dinner, and you've been there out to dinner, and there's a crowd of people raising Cain, or their kids are running all over the place and making a mess. There's no respect. There's no consideration. There's no honor. God, help us to set a standard, to set an example. If you go out to eat, make sure that table looks better or at least as good as it did whenever you sat down there. Right? That's what we've been taught. You go out to eat, don't leave your trash all over the table. Don't make a mess on the floor and expect some $5 an hour employee to be glad to come along and clean it up. No, they're going to curse your name. They're going to say, the old saying is, church people are the worst people when it comes to dining out. They don't tip very good, and they make a huge mess, and they don't clean it up. Let's not let that be true about us. I don't believe it is. I've been out to eat a number of times, and I tell you, usually the waiter doesn't have a very hard job at all. All they're doing is picking it up off the table. Because we've already got the trash and everything assembled and everything taken care of. We want to set a good example in the society, even if the world doesn't. We want to be an example. Paul said to be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in spirit, in faith, in charity. I'm missing a few. He said, let no man despise thy youth. That's not, Brother McGowan, let no man despise thy youth. He's talking to you, that youthful Holy Ghost, alive, Spirit of God that's in your life that never dies. It's alive. It's life. You know, where there's life, there's not death. That's why where there's life, there's liberty, because you're not bound to anything. You're not bound to a grave. You're not bound to a curse. You're bound to be free. Thank God and the Lord. And so here David, he poured the water out because he knew he had to be careful. If he wasn't careful with stuff like that, he would have had every whim, everything that he wanted, men would have gone trying to supply. It would have been like Moses when Moses said, must we smite the rock and bring it forth water. Brother Daniels, our hope isn't in our leaders. Now, I'm thankful for our leaders. I'm thankful that we have wise men that don't try to take advantage of us, that don't try to use us or abuse us. I'm thankful that we have wise leadership that is here to help guide us and protect us and lead us into the kingdom of heaven. Saviors, if you will. But David, he had to be careful, and our leadership, they know that. They have to be careful what they ask for, because they know that people want to please. We want to please each other. We want to please the Lord. Our singers, our song leaders, don't you know that they want to please you? Don't you know that their desire is for you to be pleased, for you to enjoy the song that they've felt led to give? They want to please the saints of God. They like to see us singing. They like to see us clapping our hands, participating, engaging in the service. That's all right. Preachers, when they preach, they like to hear an amen or a hallelujah or a praise the Lord. They like to know that what they're doing is pleasing you, not in a way that it's you know, entertaining, but yes, in a way that it is. You know, God help us. God help us to be entertained in the Lord. We're being entertained by other things. We're being entertained by all kinds of things out here in this world. God help us to be entertained by the good things of the Lord. Praise God. People testify. They want to know that their testimony is pleasing. It's an encouragement. The Bible study. They want to know that it's pleasing. You know, I realize that there's times, you know, like the writer said, I've got a fire shut up in my bones. He just had to preach. He just couldn't help it. He had something to say, and he had to say it. You know what's that old saying? There's some people that got something to say, and then there's some people that just got to say something. Well, I'm not talking about the people that just got to say something. They're the ones that I hit delete. Not always. But I don't want to suffer fools gladly either. You know what I'm saying? We can, if we're not careful. We suffer all kinds of people. Thank you. Well, I won't go off into that, but I'll tell you what. You know, there's some things you ought to hide. Some things you don't need to see every day. There's some people you don't need all their garbage every day. You know, how many times you hear somebody say, stop sending me game requests. Because it's just stupid stuff. Time-wasting, you know, foolishness. It is. And, you know, what a world we live in. Facebook, Instagram, and things like that, Snapchat, all this stuff that we use to communicate with each other, email, texting, Twitter, all these ways to get information. And it's all right. I see the value in it. I do. I mean, I really do. I've worked for a man. When I went to work for this guy, he didn't even have an email account. He was an owner of a multi-million-dollar company. He didn't have an email account. I said to him, of course, I came from Walmart and J.B. Hunt, and I had, you know, multiple email accounts. And I said to him, I said, okay, I'll send that to you in an email. What's your email account, your email address? He said, I don't have an email address. I said, you're kidding, right? He said, no, I'm not kidding. He said, why would I need that? He said, I'm just across the hall. Come over and talk to me. Well, I'll tell you right now, he's probably the most ferocious emailer in our company. And there's good, you know, I see the benefit both ways. I can see where a man can say, Brother Nathan, I want you to jump. And don't even ask how high, just do it. But I can also see where a man would say, wait a minute, if I ask this guy to jump, I might put him in danger. Like David, he said, if I drink this water, I'd be drinking their blood. We have to be careful what we ask of each other. We have to be careful how we approach one another. That's why Solomon said, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom that I may know how to go in and out among God's people. That's my prayer. That's my prayer tonight, is wisdom. God, give me wisdom. If I need to focus on the struggle, then I'll focus on the struggle. But if I need to set my struggle aside and say, Lord, I'm here to worship you. I'm here to lift up your name. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I'm here to praise you. I'm here to draw strength from you. I'm here to put my worries and my troubles aside. Thank God to put my hurts, my heartaches, my backaches, my health needs. I'm here to put those things aside because I know that I'm going to praise you. And when I praise you, everything else is going to fall in place. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. He's the God of heaven. He is the God of heaven, and there is none greater. He's the God here on earth, and he's the God of heaven. He's the God of life, and he's the God of death. Thank God. He said he's the God of the living, and he's the God of the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. No matter what your struggle is, no matter how bad you feel tonight, thank God. Know this, saints of God, that your name is written in heaven. That you're the God of heaven has taken the time out of his busy schedule and he's penciled down your name. Hallelujah. He even knows your middle name. He even knows your nickname. Hallelujah. The one that you try to hide from everybody. Woo! Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't he good tonight? Praise God. In the midst of our struggle, hallelujah, we have hope. In the midst of our turmoil, we've got hope tonight. Our hope and our trust is not in our own strength. Oh, we might try it. We might try it. Everybody's looking for the fountain of youth. Everybody's looking for it. I read a report recently where they're talking about detaching a head and putting it on a new body, looking for some sort of pathway to everlasting life where they're going to give somebody a head transplant. My Lord. If they only knew that they could have a head transplant tonight. 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 Woo! Tonight. They could take that old mind and they could do away with it. They could get a new mind. A new mind that says, hey, wake up over there. Hey, listen here. I know you're going through it. A new mind where you're just in the midst of your struggle. You hear a still small voice. You hear a word come back to you. I was walking today on my place and a song came to me. I was tired. And an old chorus came back to me. I just started singing it. Just started feeling good about the Lord. Felt good about the Lord. That new mind. In the midst of my troubles, in the midst of my turmoils, that old mind, what does he know? Sweet spirit. A kind word. A memory. Brother Brett said tonight, roll back that curtain. A memory now and then. A moment of victory. A recollection. A reflection that God is God. That God is God. What's that old song? God is God, and God don't ever change. God God is God, and He always will be God. He's a God up on the mountain. He's a God down by the sea. He's the God of the whole creation, and He surely is God to me. Oh, God is God, and God don't never change. See, you can feel good about God. Woo! You can feel good about God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. We might close with that song. One of you sisters will help me sing it. But before we do, we need to go to prayer. Happy to report that Sister Rachel and Brother Andy Hazlip have had a baby boy, Stephen, right? And it's happy faces, smiles all around. I'm really happy for him, as Brother Brett said also. Very happy for the Smith family and this new addition to their world. See, it's amazing, really. You know, one life passes, another one is born. I want to remember the Talley family in Georgia. I want to remember Sister Hannah Stewart's family and the loss of their great-grandma. I want to remember Brother and Sister Wallace, and Sister Brother and Sister Crow. Sister Crow's been down in her back and really needs prayer. So let's continue to pray for her, Sister Stewart. Okay, remember Sister Rachel and Brother Fred Stewart tonight. Then Caleb and Hannah are in Kentucky. Okay, very good. Remember my mother-in-law, Sister Denman, and her health needs, Sister Abraham. Let's remember Sister Abraham and her needs. Sister Inez Watson and her circumstance, the Lord knows. Truly does. Sister Crafton's father and her mother. God would move on their behalf. Any other needs here tonight? Sister Holly has an unspoken request. Right? Brother and Sister Wallace, yes, let's remember them. Sister Chelsea. Sister Inez, okay, very good. Inez Watson. All right. Let's remember the York family. I know they're suffering, hurting right now. Let's remember Sister Lisa and Brother and Sister York and the circumstance for them. Praise God. We have youth fundraiser downstairs in the dining room and tonight after church, so appreciate everyone's consideration there. The youth is thankful for your help and your determination to help them, and in turn they want to help you, so they'll be serving and cleaning. We do anticipate maybe even having the gym open a few minutes after they get done cleaning also. So keep that in mind. Any other needs tonight? No? Let's all stand and pray. Praise God. Lord, we love you tonight. Our hope and our trust is in you. There's none greater. My God, there is none greater. You made the body. You're able to heal it. Your will is perfect. And that's our desire tonight, that your perfect will would be met, worked in our life. Jesus, we pray that you'll comfort these families that are dealing with the loss of a loved one, Tally family, Sister Hannah's family, oh God. Pray that you'd bless the Smith family, Lord, and the joy and experience that they have tonight. Oh God, watch over them as they travel. Brother and Sister Crow, Brother and Sister Wallace in their time of need, oh God. Jesus, reach down and touch Brother Ron Johnson and his wife, Beth. Dear Lord, help in their time of need. Precious Lord, help Sister Holly, oh God, in her unspoken request. Sister Inez Watson, dear Lord, you know her need tonight and you're able according to your will and glory. Let it be done, dear Lord Jesus. Bless this congregation, Lord Jesus. Let us be a light, an example of love and good works in this city. To our friends, our families, our loved ones, our co-workers, Lord Jesus, let them see Jesus. Let them see you working in our lives. Let them feel the love that you bring. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, sweet Jesus, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's remain standing and sing this chorus if you'll maybe help me with it. All right. Oh, God is God, and God don't ever change. God is God, and He always will be God. He's the God up on the mountain. He's the God down by the sea. He's the God of a whole creation, and He surely is God to me. God is God, and God don't ever change. God is God, and He always will be God. He's the God of the mountain. He's the God down by the sea. He's the God over all creation, and He surely is God to me. God is God, and God don't ever change. God is God, and He always will be God. He's the God up on the mountain. He's the God down by the sea. He's the God of the whole creation. God is God, and He always will be God. He's the God up on the platform. He's the God back by the door. He's the God in the amen corner. He's the God that I adore. God is God, and God don't ever change. God is God, and He always will be God. He's the God up on the mountain. He's the God down by the sea. He's the God over all creation, and He surely is God to me. God is God, and God don't ever change. God is God, and He always will be God. Praise God. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Youth fundraiser downstairs and service tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Hallelujah.